The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders on this 21st day of June 2022, first day of summer, the longest day of the week. Not the week, the year. And so there you go. We have a whole lot to talk about tonight. We got to get right to it. I mean, we really have a lot to cover because that's why we're here. We're here to bring you, to tell you the truth, because the truth is very hard to find in this society. You won't get any of it on what they call the mainstream media. I can tell you that. And so we have tonight at the controls on the board none other than Mighty Craig.
Good evening.
Did you notice something? I called you the Mighty Craig.
Well, I guess I'm mighty and courageous.
Okay, you're mighty courageous, you are, yes.
There we go.
And then and also mighty courageous out there, a man of all seasons, none other than Pastor Joe Larson.
Well, all I can think to say is all things bright and beautiful, all things great and small, all things wise and wonderful. The good Lord made us all.
Very good. Now, Joe.
It just feels good.
We got a lot to cover.
We got to talk about a lot of bad things, but we got to remember all those beautiful, wonderful blessings that God has given us each and every day, and we need to be thankful.
We are, Joe. Some of us are very, very thankful, and even more so for what lies ahead. We might have a little bit of some rough roads there getting there, but when we get to the end, when we get, as we say, when we get to heaven, everything from there, everything is, you couldn't get any better, huh?
Exactly. So, want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen. Anyhow, the title of the message was The Fatherhood of God and Man, and we started off talking about the fatherhood of all men. God the Father of all humanity. And then we took a look at how he was the fatherhood of Israel. And then tonight we're going to be at the fatherhood of the Gentiles, the fatherhood of the Gentiles. So we start over in Romans chapter 3, and we start with verse 27 through 29, or through 31, actually. Are you ready to go, Joe?
Ready. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith.
One more.
Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law.
Okay, so Joe here. Now, most religions prescribe specific duties, Joe, that must be performed to make a person acceptable to their God. Well, we see under the Jews' religion, what did they have to do? They had the dietary laws. They had the laws of the Sabbaths. And so...
The different...
What?
Yeah, they had a lot of different things.
So was that law given to them to show them how good they were, or was that law given to them to show them just how far from being able to fulfill those laws they were, how they needed
that
a Savior?
That sounds a little better, because man has never been able to live by the law.
Okay, so then, did you ever ask yourself, why does God save us by faith alone? Well, we know that faith eliminates the pride of human effort.
Right.
And because faith is not a deed that we do. Now, if you look at some of the other religions, like the Muslims or the Gnostics were a good one. With the Gnostics, you had the two sects of Gnostics. One of them believed that since they were spiritual beings, they could have no contact with anything material. The least amount of contact with material, it was like a stairway to heaven that they would climb. And by having the least amount of contact with anything material, they could eat the least, drink the least, even breathe as little as possible. They believed that they wore as little clothes as possible and touched nothing. Some actually lived up in trees that would try to live up and staying away from the people. And for those, that one sect, if they touched a woman with their fingers, they would burn those fingers that touched the woman. The other sect, Joe, was totally the opposite. They believed
they didn't
since...
go with that replenish the earth thing very well, did they?
No. The other sect believed that since they were spiritual, that material things could have no effect on them at all. So they could eat as much as they want, drink as much as they want, and carouse around as much as they want. And so they were two complete different. So were they both wrong?
Terribly.
Yeah, they were going into...
One was more sinful than the other because there was, they weren't limited on what they could do, who they could touch, but the other was sinful in the fact that it also did not live according to where God wanted people to live. They were disobedient, too, in the opposite direction.
Absolutely. So now, when we have our faith, when we believe, when we trust in God, does our faith, when we trust, does that exalt God, or does that exalt... Does it exalt what God has done, or what does it exalt what we have done?
It exalts what God has done.
Okay.
Well, so, if you go back, remember, Abraham believed not in God, but Abraham believed God. The secret is believing what God has said, and by believing, we have faith that it will come to pass that it is true. So we come to everything through our faith. Our belief.
Do you ever hear people say, well, I don't necessarily believe that. I know that the Bible says something. So then you ask, well, what does the Bible say about that? They don't know.
Right.
But they know
they
whatever
use
it is.
Use that in the place of any knowledge of Scripture.
Yeah, whatever it is, I don't believe it, right?
Right.
Okay, so then they go on. Does faith, there's a strong faith in God. Does that give us the belief that we can keep the letter of the law, or a strong faith in God? Does that tell us that we know that there's no way in the world we could keep the letter of the law?
It tells us that we're sinners, we're going to fail, we're going to fall short, we're going to sin, but we do know we can go to our Father and ask for forgiveness. And it will be done.
So then, is our faith based on our relationship with God, or is our faith based on how we perform for God? In other words, the things we do, like when they said to the Lord, 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 did we not cast out demons, feed the sick, or feed the hungry, heal the sick. And the Lord said to him, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you.
I knew you, right. It's not our being, it's our faith that sees us through and our knowledge and love of God.
Okay, so here, what is the benefits of believing that Jesus is the Son of God and God the Son, and that we believe in his death, burial, resurrection, and eternal life for those that are truly saved? So what is the benefit in that?
Well, simply, the only way Jesus said, the only way to the Father, or God said, the only way to the Father is through the Son. If we don't accept and believe the Son, we have no way to get to the Father. And if you don't get to the Father, there's no way to receive everlasting life and salvation.
Well, where did you learn all that?
I think I had a good teacher.
All right. Let's go.
A mentor.
Why don't we go over to Judd, chapter 1, and why don't we read verses?
I'm going to tell people who that was in case they didn't pick up on it.
Oh, they won't believe you, but go ahead.
Well, it's way back, folks, real quick, when I first met Pastor Ernie and decided I wanted to be part of the ministry. The deal was that I would join the ministry if I got paid double what Pastor Ernie did. So,
oh yeah,
I got double zeros instead of one. I got double zeros. So, and with a deal like that, I had to come aboard.
Well, you know, that's all of us. Every one of the pastors there, too, is in the word, is there for the cause and not for the paycheck, huh?
No, and certainly not for the paycheck.
And, you know, there's nobody there that's rich and nobody that wants to be. We would rather do the Lord's will. And because here's this fellow once said this. See if you can tell me who it was. To place up your treasures in heaven where moth can't eat, fire can't burn, and not here on earth. Okay? And so
that was one of the disciples that said that.
Well, it was a fellow named, actually, it was the Lord Jesus that said that.
Oh, but and, it was written down by one of the apostles.
Yeah, Matthew and John. Matthew. So,
I think a couple of them, yeah.
Yeah, and so here now, if we go to 1 John chapter 1, no, to John chapter 1, starting with verse 10, and we read all the way through 15.
He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
One more.
John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.
So Christ created the entire world, and but the world didn't recognize him, did they?
No, here's the Creator himself standing there, and the world did not want to see him. They didn't see him the way he came.
How much of the Old Testament pointed to the Messiah, to the coming of the Messiah?
Well, the entire Bible is really all about him. It's his story, the history, his story.
All right, so if we take, starting in Genesis, the flood in chapter 6, we even going back before that to Genesis 3:15, it's the Evangelium.
Right.
And that pointed towards the seed of the woman, and that point there of Eve being the Lord Jesus himself.
He's right.
versus the seed of the serpent, which...
Serpent, yep.
Yeah, well, today, Joe, the seed of the serpent is multiplying a society out there today. These people that you see, these pro-death people, pro-abortion, the pro-homosexual, these are the seeds of the serpent. And, you know, that sounds like a very good title for a message, doesn't it?
I think there is a sermon coming right there. It would be a great sermon.
Yeah, I can just see that because, yeah, that's exactly it. So it started all the way back in Genesis, and then it goes all through Scripture when we see the types and the shadows.
Right, and so, we see the angel of the Lord. We see the pre-incarnate Christ showing up all over. We see the angel of his presence. We see Jesus everywhere if we look for him and know what to look for.
If we take a look at the sacrifice of Isaac from Abraham, is that a type of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Sure.
And then as we go all through the Old Testament, we see it over and over and over. All of the types in the shadows. So, here are the coming Lord. And especially...
things to come.
Absolutely.
God's always leading us to him, one way or the other.
So when it says, and the Word was made flesh, means becoming human. So by doing so, Christ became what? He became the perfect teacher? Was he a perfect teacher?
Perfect. Well, yeah, of course, he was the only perfect in the world.
Okay, so was the teaching by his life? Did he live his teachings?
Yes, he lived every bit of everything he taught. He was everything. He was as masculine. He was more masculine than any man I know. He was more compassionate than any woman I think that ever existed. Compassed everything human and yet everything spiritually and holy.
So when we were to be conformed to Christ, to the image of Christ, was he the perfect example as a model of what we were to become?
Amen, yes. But it's frightening because it's something we will never achieve.
So Peter said,
before we get too far gone, you remember that historian Arnold Toynbee way back in the 60s and 70s? He said, what does the universe look like? It looks as if everything were on the move, either toward its creator or away from him. And he hit the nail on the head. People either turn and go toward their God to draw closer in knowledge and understanding and love, or they turn and go, you know, headed for their father, the devil.
Absolutely. Well, so he says here, what Christ was the perfect sacrifice, and he was the perfect sacrifice. Was he the perfect sacrifice for certain sins, for all sins? What about his death satisfied God's requirements for the removal of sin?
The wages of sin was death. The punishment for all sin is death. But by his taking our place, the substitutionary death, he died in our place, those of us who would receive his offer of mercy and salvation. And he paid the price. It's like we had a bill of all our sins, and it was nailed on the cross with him. And the bottom of that bill says paid in full with his death and resurrection.
So if we were to go over to Colossians, I believe, see Colossians 1, and let me see if I remember, starting with verse 15. Colossians 1, yeah.
Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Okay, so what does that mean, consist? What does that mean, all things
held
consist?
Together. All things are held together by him. He is the glue that holds the universe together.
So now, has science wondered for centuries? I remember we had some nuclear physicists on this radio program, and they said by all the laws that they could see in their studies that with the atoms and the neutrons and that things should just explode. But there was some invisible force holding everything.
They've been looking for the God particle.
And I think God knew. I found it right here in the Bible. It was right here.
Yeah. Okay. Right there. It is by the power of, well, the Father decreed, the Son spoke, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, it was made. It happened. And it's by the power of God. And remember, all the Father gave what? All power and authority in heaven and earth to his Son, to the physical Son, the only begotten of the Father. And he is in control of everything. He is the one who holds the universe together.
Okay, well, how many begottens were there? I mean, it says right over here that we are the sons of God. Okay.
Only begotten, meaning the physical came forth from the spiritual. So the spiritual birthed the physical, but the spiritual is all, or the physical is all spiritual also.
So you're saying that he's unique and exclusive, that
yes.
God, the Son, is also the Son of God. So he's unique,
right.
And so is that ever going to happen again?
Are one.
Will that ever happen again?
No.
So
never, ever, ever.
So that was a unique one time in all of history, in all of eternity, that can never happen again.
Yeah, I was going to say history is all throughout eternity, yes. The only time that will ever happen. And it happened back in the Bible says, in the beginning.
Okay. Well, tomorrow I think we're going to start on the duties of a father toward his children. The duties of a father toward his children. And we find that over in Genesis chapter 37. But we're coming up to the bottom of the hour, to the break here. So we'll pick that up there tomorrow, because that's a very interesting passage of Scripture. There's a lot in there. And so we'll be back right after this with more.
Remember me, you're taking all my money. Remember me, you gave my job away. Remember me, or am I just a number who's white and straight and doesn't qualify for foreign aid? Remember me, I helped you get elected, but you haven't done one thing you said you'd do. But even though you'd rather not remember me, I'll remember. Remember me, I serve my country proudly. Remember me, I love the USA. Remember me, or am I just some bumpkin who you didn't think would notice the bounce checks and midnight rays? Remember me, I wrote you all those letters, thinking that you cared what I thought too. Well, even though you often just forget to remember, I'll remember you. I'll remember.
I'll remember.
In November.
In November.
As I step into the
Boy, will I remember, Joe. Boy, will I remember. Joe, I have an article here, and I hope, this article's not true, but I'm afraid it is. It's an article by Lexi Purdy, and here she says this, God help us. We ask every U.S. senator if they support banning kid-friendly drag shows, and only one said yes. Few people have the spine to stand up to evil. Boy, that's true. One Republican senator has shown to be an exception. The Western Journal reached out to every U.S. senator after the horrid Drag the Kids to Pride event took place in Dallas on June 4th. Last Saturday, Chardon, the city of Chardon, was soiled. Last Saturday, the city of Chardon took a real hit morally. City Council allowed a sodomite parade on City Square. What they did is they reduced themselves morally, spiritually. What they did is they offended God. The Chardon City Council offended God by allowing that to take place. And so you can give yourself every kind of excuse in the world. God's not interested. You know, when he means what he says and says what he means. And he says that's an abominable thing, abominable, a really unclean. In fact, that's exactly what he says. They continue in their uncleanness. It's an unclean thing. And touch not. And so, whenever I'll have every time I go by that square now, I'll look and I'll remember what it was, but how it was defiled and how they allowed it to become defiled now and become lesser. And what's happening, and we have lesser people in government now. I mean, morally, when it comes to people with much less integrity, honesty, decency, and that's why we have such corruption in government. But anyhow, it goes on to say, the Western Journal reached out to every U.S. senator after the horde dragged the kids to the Pride event took place in Dallas on June 4th. The event featured provocatively dressed transvestites strutting around and dancing in a sexual manner as children looked on. The footage of the event, children could be seen handing the transvestites money as if they were a strip club.
I watched that video. It was totally repulsive, and it was extremely overtly sexual, yet they try and say, oh, there's nothing sexual about it. Well, tweaking and some of the stuff I saw in that video was about as sexy and sensual as you can get with your clothes on, you know.
It's not called tweaking. It's called twerking.
Twerking.
Yeah, I wondered. For the longest time, I wondered what that was. Like, I've heard it. What in the world does that mean? And
it's kind of just shaking your pus, your derriere in somebody's face and doing all kinds of very suggestive sexual movements.
In other words, it's like being a liberal woman.
Yeah, right? Being a whore.
Yeah. So many Republicans and conservatives did not think that this was acceptable, and called for a ban on children attending drag shows. Republican Brian Slayton, a Texas state representative, announced that he would be introducing legislation protecting kids from drag shows and their inappropriate displays as soon as the next legislative session begins. I would never take my children to a drag show, and I know Speaker Dade Phelan and my Republican colleagues wouldn't either. I will be filing legislation to address the issue in the next, then he goes on. But Slayton was one of the very few elected officials to take such a stance, one that you would think is a basic common sense, and one that you would think all Republicans would support. But what is the position of those in Congress, specifically those in the U.S. Senate? Do they believe that there should be a ban on children attending drag shows? We asked this very question to every U.S. senator. Only one had something of substance to say. Many others Both Democrats and Republicans failed to respond or dodge the question entirely.
I find GOP, that odd because I've heard several speak out, like Josh Hawley and a couple others, so I'm surprised.
I am, too. That's why I was saying from the very beginning.
Who did they list that spoke up?
GOP Senator Roger Marshall of Kansas said a striking declaration.
Did Hawley speak up like, no, it shouldn't happen and never,
I would have thought Hawley. I would have thought Ted Cruz.
Cruz, Rubio.
You would have thought, right? Now,
yeah.
What happened to the innocence of the children? The hypersexualization and grooming of young children have become an obsession of the far left in the country. I mean, you have pedophilia. The Democratic Party is flush with pedophilia. It's flush with pedophilia. Any respectful parent would never allow a child to watch, let alone participate in pornographic drag shows. The tail has been wagging the dog for too long with this garbage, and the dog is about to bite back. So the words resonate with what most conservatives and many concerned parents are feeling at the moment. Yes, yet only one U.S. senator was brave enough to utter them. Marshall stated, what happened to the innocence of the children? And why are we not trying to protect them from hypersexualization and grooming that is currently going on in our country? The drag show for kids held in Dallas was not isolated. The family-friendly, degenerate events take place in the U.S. all the time, and little to be done to stop them.
Well, we've read some of the names of some of those drag queens, like one that's been in the news lately, fighting back. She calls herself Little Miss Hot Mess. You look, there was a couple of the names that I didn't want to use on the radio. I'm not sure they would be allowed, but they're going out talking about how all this drag queen dancing is a creative portal to a new world. Through drag, we see elements of a society that are a hot mess. And find the courage and creativity to change them. In other words, change to sin, you know, throw away modesty, throw away decency. The change is all about you can do whatever you want. If it feels good, do it. That's the change is, folks. It's from Christ following Christ to following the Antichrist is what they're saying.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, too, Joe, is you talk to especially the young people, and they think that this is a new movement. It's a liberating movement, but no.
Yeah.
We've been here before. It was a place called Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah. This is not new.
Right. This is not new, and it didn't end very well for them, did it?
Not well at all.
Well,
what gets me is I looked at some of the pictures that were on that video and stuff. This Little Miss Hot Mess and so are the other drag queens that were there. You've got all these mothers sitting around clapping and cheering on. So the little children are going to see this. They're going to see this is something their mothers are happy about, smiling, laughing. That tells the children it's good. It's okay. If mommy's having fun, if mommy feels good, then, you know, we should too. That's the horrible part. The parents are the ones who are really allowing the abuse to take place. They're promoting it.
So how do you think God feels about that?
I think God is very angry. What he said about people that hurt children, something about a millstone wrapped around their neck and maybe tossed into the depth of the ocean, kind of paraphrasing, but I think it kind of meant he doesn't like it much. Because those children belong to him.
So, anyhow,
they're children until they're old enough to be able to judge for themselves whether to accept him or reject him. And until they reach that point in their life, they belong to him. So what these people are doing are abusing God's children.
Can you make your children accessible to drag queens and sodomites and pedophiles and still claim that you love your children?
No, I don't believe so. Or you don't understand what love truly is.
So, if you love your children...
Making your child happy and laugh and smile all the time, well, yeah, but that's a misnomer, isn't it? That's not real love.
So for 50 years on this radio program, we've been telling people, if you love your children, get them out of the public school system. Why have we been telling people to get their children out of the public school system for 50 years?
Because we don't want them brainwashed into sin, brainwashed with evil, thinking good is evil and evil is good. Children have to grow up with some knowledge of right and wrong and truth, and that's only going to, their main teachers at early ages are their parents or the school, and they leave them in school 5 days a week. And so that becomes the primary teacher instead of the parent.
All right. I'm going to run over here for a minute. This is President Trump had something to say. He's got his new network up now. And I felt the election was rigged and stolen. This is the headlines. Have from the very beginning and have only gotten stronger in that belief. President Trump totally destroys the Unselect Committee. That group of lying hypocrites, that group, that so-called January 6th committee, is illegitimate as illegitimate can get. You can't get any more illegitimate than that. It's like you go into a court, right? And you're being charged, but there's only a prosecution. There's no defense. And so instead of having the Republicans, and before, and this is unprecedented, there was always two sides. Now there's only one side, the Democrats, the Communist Party, against Americans. Now here, President Trump released some truth about the corrupt and dishonest January 6th committee. He totally destroyed the committee in his messages. In his first brilliant message on truth and social, President Trump shares that he never knew he lost the election and that this is a false narrative. Then the president shares, I felt the election was rigged, stolen, and had from the very beginning. I only got stronger in that belief with time. Large amounts of additional evidence and proof. What is brilliant about this is how the president misspelled stolen. The word is related to a German cake. What the president clearly meant was stolen, as the 2020 election was stolen.
Stolen, right.
By making this misspelling, the corrupt and hateful media is sure to share the message. Aha! This will then put in front of America the truth. President Trump never thought the election was legitimate. Either did we, Joe. We knew from the very beginning, we believed our eyes and not the lying talking heads at NBC, ABC, and CBS, huh? And so,
exactly. Look at Adam Schiff. This January 6th committee is like a replay of Russia, 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 Russian collusion. It's a replay of the impeachment, impeachment, impeachment. It's just one more attempt to find a way to bring Trump down. They think if they can get some kind of criminal charge, they can keep him out of politics. They can keep him from running. They can keep him from being a major force. But they don't understand that he started something. The movement is bigger than he is, will continue one way or the other. But all they're doing, it's just like running reruns of old movie script, the same thing over and over and over again. And didn't work the first three times, and it's not going to work this time. People are ignoring it. Nobody I know is watching it, paying any attention. They all think it's a waste of time and money and nothing but a pack of lies, which is what it is.
Well, now, the 25th, do you know what the 25th is scheduled to be, don't you, Joe? The 25th is when the WHO is going to come out now and say we've got a pandemic, another pandemic. It's time to mask up, you idiots, you simple-minded fools. It's time for you to mask up again. And by the way, we already made the vaccine for you in 2019. So you simple-minded, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on you. you simple-minded fools. And that's what they say. And so here on the 25th, they're supposed to come out with another scare. But now they're having a problem because all through the radio programs like this and talk shows, people are aware of this. And so they're not quite sure what they're going to do now because, people are starting to waken up and enough is enough. The whole thing with Russia, and then the Fauci, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, wear two masks. But here now, Joe, something else happened. I had a conversation with a good friend of mine that I've known for a while, and he had a good marriage. He had a good marriage and for a long time. And him and his wife got along. They got along fine. They had their own company. He brought her in and just recently brought her into his company. And she was in the field, I believe, nursing. And he has brought her in to work with him and his company. And everything was fine. And Joe, he told her, do not go and get the shot. Don't do it. Do not do it, okay? Well, unfortunately, her daughter says to her, Mom, if you want to come and visit your grandchildren, you've got to get the shot. You see, you got to get the kill shot.
To protect the children, it should have been the other way around. But
because the daughter was indoctrinated.
Right.
The daughter was indoctrinated and simple-minded. She believed an illegitimate media, a totally and completely illegitimate media. She believed it. So guess what happened? This woman went and got the shot. And she didn't tell her husband until she got the second shot. And on the day that she got the second shot, shortly after, she became an entirely different individual. She turned hateful, spiteful, mean, turned on her husband, and he said it was like she wasn't even a human. Now, I said all that to say this, Joe. Here's an article, shocking. COVID jab linked to surge in demonic possession, and the Catholic Church knows it. Now, this is an article by Leo Zagamai. And here he goes on to say, there are so many fully vaccinated people showing strong signs of demonic possession that a new St. Michael Center for Spiritual Liberation and Exorcism is opening up in Manila, in the Philippines. And here again, the world's first ever center is constructed for those who are not only possessed but suffering from demonic attacks. The Archdiocese of Manila is currently building the groundbreaking center in the Philippines, and the center will be used as the headquarters for the Philippine Association of Catholic Exorcists and the Ministry of Exorcism and the Ministry on Visions and Phenomena. So it goes right along with what he was saying, how his wife changed to where she, he told me, Pastor, I'm not even sure if she's a human anymore. And so that was an amazing thing. But I'm hearing a lot of this stuff now from the people that have gotten the jab. Joe.
All kinds of health problems. Well, there's one big story out from the
Well, before you go there, let me just ask you a question.
Oh, sure.
Do you know what happens if you perform an exorcism and you don't do it the right way? Do you know what happens?
Well, you don't drive out the demon.
Joe, you get repossessed.
I don't really know the answer.
You hear it is. You get repossessed.
Ah. Repossessed.
There you go. There you go. All right.
Oh, that was bad. I think
yeah.
You better stick to preaching.
Okay,
but
here.
We need a little humor, but this is big news. There was a very rich rock musician, his name Lord Zion, over there, and He took the poke, and he died of a hemorrhage and complications, but the doctor said it was complications from the corona vaccine. The vaccine, and he died from this blood problem following his AstraZeneca jab. And he dialed at the Royal Victoria Infirmary there in Newcastle. But the thing was, the doctors came out and said it was related to the COVID, this brain hemorrhage, 2 weeks after the shot. Remember, we told people that over in this country, the CDC, if you died within 14 days of taking the vax, you died of COVID. But the doctors over there said, no, it was a jab. And they are going to have to pay £120,000 as British money. Similar, it's a little less than $120,000. But this could start the world's acknowledging that these vaccines, especially the AstraZeneca, have caused death and caused massive bleeding, hemorrhaging, and several other problems. And I think this is the start. The wall may come down, and several people have said this is the first step in the battle. The girlfriend, the fiance, she said, we're not finished yet. This is not about the money. Nothing can bring back the people we've lost. This is about recognition. And she said, I think it's disgusting that widows and injured people are going to have to fight for a long time to get this kind of support. The skill, Vicky Spitt, had spent 21 years with him, I guess the common law. And she said, I don't need the money, but the idea is we're going to go out and work to help others. So this could be the start of a big turnaround.
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing, because you heard, remember, on the clip we played last night, where we had that doctor on there, and I believe the numbers that she gave was, since that right now that they know, these are ages between, what, 24 and 40?
Yes, somewhere between 18 and 34 or something. There's a range.
Millennials, right.
Millennials.
Right. 69,000. 69,000 died already. And the insurance company tells you that the death rate is up 40%. The death rate is up 40%. Now, you know,
more
remember
of
how
died than the old people with comorbidities, percent wise.
Yep. And so here you go. Here's an article. I've got an article right here. Very quickly, I want to get on that before you switch over to some other stuff. Here's more evidence that the COVID pandemic was a massive vacation for hundreds of thousands of federal workers. That was not the article I thought I had, because I was looking for the... Of course, we knew that, though, too.
Right.
Fauci finally admits there's no studies that support COVID boosters being effective for kids.
For kids, but yet they're pushing them for five and under. These people are corrupt, they are sick, and they are criminal.
They absolutely
should be in jail, not being paid huge amounts of money to kill children.
All right, let me go with this article. This is by J.D. Hayes, and this is out of the Natural News. Here he goes. He said, if there is any one person most responsible for the COVID-19 pandemic and awful, awful policies that were adopted to combat it and limit the outbreak, it's Anthony Fauci, the lead immunologist in America. Were it not for him, our economy would not have been shut down for more than a year. Children would not have been denied, in many cases, and 2 full years of in-person classroom attendance, and their once-in-a-lifetime person graduation. Families would not have been locked out of hospitals as their loved ones breathed their last breath as they died from COVID, and China may not have had the full funding to both develop the virus and then release it. Fauci needs to be tried for war crimes. He needs to be tried for war crimes. And also, were it not for him, Americans would not have been subjected to highly dangerous, highly ineffective series of COVID vaccines and boosters that have done little to derail the pandemic, but have had a lasting negative side effects of tens of millions, especially our children. So there you go. All right, we're coming up.
Crazy world. It's just a crazy, crazy world. I just one more thing. We've said this before. Another research out there, New England Journal of Medicine, COVID vaccination increases risk of infection. Those that had natural immunity far better off than those that have had several vaccinations. They get sicker more often. Again, one more story to back up something we've been saying for a year and a half.
Yep, absolutely. We keep telling people. All right, here's one lead when I want to come back here, Joe. Right now, over 23 pro-life organizations have been firebombed by Satan's children. These are Satan's children. These people who want the death, they hate God and they love death, okay? These people hate God and they love death. They're the demon seed, and that's what they are. They're the demon seed. And so they're now here. Why are they doing that? Because we don't have a Department of Justice.
No.
We do not have a Department of, and I want to get on that. We want to, more and more people realizing now that we don't. We've got a really crooked, dirty cop in Merrick Garland. He is crooked
like
as crooked gets.
Republic.
Yeah, and that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to turn this country into a banana republic. And this is why, and we'll take a look at some of the evidence when we come back, because we're going up to a break here. And I don't like it. When we get up close like this, you don't really have enough time to do anything.
Right.
So you just kind of have to stall, right?
Okay. That's the good thing about live radio, folks. We tell it like it is. We, you're smart. You can tell what's going on. So.
All righty. I'm not going to give the number out because I don't want to. I'm not going to open the phone lines yet.
No. Oh,
okay. He's telling me to give out the phone number. No. Who does he think he is? All right. Okay. All right.
Courageous Craig.
Courageous Craig, we'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away. Don't go away.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.